Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Genesis, chapter 50. We'll read verses 22 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis, chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he in his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And let's finish on verse 26 together. Ready? So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for a church. Thank you for a church like our church. You walk in and you feel welcome and feel warmed, but we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. Father, please use our preacher today, filling with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, change eternities today for some. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Earlier, we read from Genesis chapter 50. In this passage of Scripture, we see the end of the earthly story of a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph lived in Egypt. His family lived there with him. The Bible says that he watched his family and his children's children grow up. He even makes mention in that passage of Scripture we just read that he had the chance to have the little ones from his family set upon his knee. And then, in verse number 24, Joseph says, I die. Two words. I die. And indeed, that's something that we will all have to say someday. In Genesis chapter 50, verse number 26, it says, And so Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So Joseph says to his family, I'm going to die. And the Bible says he died. He died at the age of 110. The Bible says they embalmed him. He was then put into a coffin, and they nailed that coffin shut. There's only one time in the entire Bible where the word coffin is used. It's a word that we would use for casket. Only one time. The coffin. The Bible says that Joseph died and they placed him in a coffin and they nailed that coffin shut. A coffin, much like this one. Men, if you'll bring in the coffin, this is an old-fashioned type of a coffin, not like the new modern coffins, but they're going to bring a coffin in for me. Joseph died. And after he died, they put him in a box. They put him into a coffin. A coffin that would have looked much like this one. They would have taken a hammer like this after putting his body in it, and they would have... Now, everybody, if we use this type of coffin... Everybody will hear that sound someday. They nailed the coffin shut. You know, the Bible teaches there is a time to die. Whether we like it or not, we are going to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which you planted. The Bible teaches everybody is going to die. We don't like to face that, but it's going to happen. It's one of those inevitable things. It's going to happen.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Now the Bible says there is an appointed time for every one of us to die. Now you don't know when I'm going to die, and I don't know when you're going to die, but we are going to die. And God said, after you physically die, then you will face God. It says, and after this, the judgment. So, they're going to nail our coffin shut someday, and no sooner are we going to close our eyes in death and hear that coffin nailed shut, we will face God. We will face God about our eternity. Everybody will die someday. I started glancing through the Word of God, and I found that in Genesis chapter 23, verse number 2, a lady by the name of Sarah died. I found in Genesis 25:8 that a man by the name of Abraham died. I found in Genesis chapter 48, verse number 7, that a lady by the name of Rachel died. I found in Genesis 35:29, a man by the name of Isaac died. I found in Genesis chapter 38, verse number 12, that someone's wife died. I found in Exodus 2:23 that a king died. I found in Deuteronomy 34, verse number 5, that a man by the name of Moses died. A great man of God, but yet he died. A king, powerful, but yet he died. I found in Joshua 5:4 that some soldiers died. I found in Joshua 24:29 that someone's son died. I found in Judges 9:49 that a group of men died. I found in Matthew 22:27 that a woman died. I found in 2 Samuel 12:18 that a child died. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 15, it said, an old man died. I found in 1 Kings 3:19 that a young man died. I found in Luke 16:22, the Bible says that a rich man died. But wait, not only did the rich man die, the Bible says in Luke 16:22 also that a poor man died. I have here, I picked up a newspaper this morning. This is dated today, April 30, 2006. It's the Martinsburg, it's the Journal. And on the front page it says, one dead in a car crash. One dead. I did not go to the obituary section of this paper, but I'll guarantee it, there are names there. Now, whether we like it or not, folks, the day will come, we will die. The Bible even describes death, and the Bible describes the grave. And I need everybody to sit as still as you can, folks. This is far more serious than what I think you realize. The Bible describes death. Job 38:17, it says that death has gates. I never knew that. Psalm 55, verse 15, it says that death will seize you. It's almost as if it grabs you unexpectedly. Psalm 55:4 speaks of the terrors of death. Proverbs 14:27 says it speaks of the snares of death. Job 10:21 speaks of the shadow of death. Psalm 22:15 tells of the dust of death. Psalm 18, verse 4 speaks of the waves of death. Some of these I don't even understand. But if the Bible says it, I believe it. And the Bible says somehow God compared death to the waves of the ocean. Hebrews 2:9, it talks about the taste of death. Proverbs 7:27, it talks about the chambers of death. 1 Samuel 15:32 talks about the bitterness of death. Song of Solomon 8:6 tell us that death is strong. 1 Corinthians 15:55 and 56 says death has a sting. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that it calls death an enemy. Psalm 31:17 speaks of the silence of the grave. Job 17:13, Job calls the grave a house. Psalm 49:15 speaks of the power of the grave. But wait a minute. For the saved, this coffin, it's a hope chest. For the saved, the grave has no victory over them. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O grave, where is thy victory? The grave may take some people in, and the grave said, I'm victorious. But for the Christian, the grave cannot say, I have victory. rest, because for the saved, the grave is not their final dwelling place. It's only a stopping point for a moment while they go on into glory. For the saved, death has no sting for them. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? For the saved, death is a precious thing. Psalm 116, verse 15, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Here in the last few weeks, some saints of God have gone on to glory. They have passed away. They've closed their eyes in death. Yesterday morning at our men's prayer meeting, Brother Ed Davis gave a bit of a testimony. This last week, his daddy went to be with the Lord, and Ed said, I do not grieve for my dad. My dad's now in heaven. He said, I believe my dad is grieving for me because I'm stuck down here and I'm not up in heaven. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to fear this old box. Oh no! Hey, that is merely the exit door to get us on the glory, to be with Jesus Christ in a place where the sun always shines, in a place where there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no pain, there's no agony. We look forward to it, but wait. If you're not saved, this is a scary box. Boy, that's scary. Nobody knows when they will face the coffin. Someday, they will nail the lid of your coffin shut. There's an old saying, or an old adage, to describe it. Whatever it was that killed you, whatever it was that stopped you physically, is what nailed your coffin shut. It's what finished you off, if you will. If it were drug abuse, they would say, his drug addiction drove the last nail in his coffin. If it were smoking and cancer, they would say, yep, those cigarettes just drove the last nail in his coffin. Wait a minute. You see, the Bible teaches there are two deaths. We read about it earlier. The first death, that's the death of the body. Everybody will face the death of the body. It's appointed unto man once to die. But that verse goes on to say, but after this, the judgment. You see, everybody faces the first death. But then there is something the Bible calls the second death. The second death. Who is this for? It's for unsaved people. It's for those that are not born again. The Bible says that after you die physically, you will face God. And then you will face the second death. If you're not saved, then you will be cast into hell. You say, do you say that to scare me? No. Well, I'll tell you something. You ought to be scared. You shouldn't, I don't want to go to hell. Hell is not just a cuss word. It's a place. It's a real place. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Everybody here will die once. But not everybody here will die twice. You see, if you're born again, your body may die, but you'll spiritually go on to be with the Lord. But if you're here today and you're not saved, your body will die someday. And after that, the judgment, then you will face the second death, which is when you're cast into the lake of fire and you'll spend your eternity separated from God. Hey, let me ask you a question. What is it that will be the last nail in your coffin in regard to the second death? What's going to send you to hell? What is it that will be the last nail in your coffin in regard to this thing of going to hell? In regard to the second death, I call today's sermon the final nail in your coffin. The final nail in your coffin. Number one, let me ask you this question. Will the last nail driven into your coffin be your lack of interest in God? Psalm chapter 10, verse number 4, the Bible says this. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In other words, God is not in his thoughts. Hey, will you die and go to hell because you want to ignore the existence of a holy God? Do you not want to think about death? We're all going to die someday. The unsaved will face the second death. Do you not want to think about heaven? The Bible says here, the wicked, they don't want to seek after God. They don't even want to think about God. There are people in here. If it were not for me talking about God today and you coming to church on this exceptional Sunday morning, you wouldn't give a thought about God. You wouldn't be worried about your death. And so you know, that's what the church is all about. Listen, if you buried as many people as I have buried and said goodbye to as many people as I've helped to say goodbye to, you'd be concerned about eternity. I've buried them young. I've buried them old. I've buried them healthy. I've buried them sick. I've buried the men. I've buried the babies. I've buried the women. I'm telling you, my friend, one of these days your eyes will close in death. They'll put you in a box and you'll face God. You say, I don't want to think about it. You better think about it now, baby, because later on after you're dead, your thinking time's over. You won't have a chance to think again. You say, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to wake you up. See, I don't want to think about it. Do you not want to think about hell? Well, there is one. There are people there now. Do you not want to think about your need of salvation? You've got to get saved, just like the rest of us got saved. Do you not want to think about God? Well, let me tell you something. Whether you want to think about it or not, God is real. God is alive. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He loves you. Don't try to ignore God. Don't try to ignore the things of God. Don't snub God. Don't avoid God. Don't do that. The worst thing you'll do, hey, is the reason why you will die and go to hell because you don't want to think about God or heaven or hell? Is the last nail in your coffin going to be the fact that you don't want to think about it? Hey, will the last nail in your coffin be your pride? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Does your pride keep you from thinking that, or does your pride cause you to think you don't need Jesus? You don't need religion. You don't need that old black book. Are you educated so far that you don't need the guidebook of the Bible to tell you about heaven or hell? You don't need to be born again. Does your pride say you're not such a bad person? You know something? You might do some good things. But I've got news for you. Nobody here can do enough good to get themselves to heaven. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, and that includes you. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does your pride say, hey, Jesus, that's for weak people, and I'm strong? There's nobody strong enough to get themselves to heaven. Yes, you say, well, Jesus, is he your crutch? You guessed it. Yeah, he's my crutch. I'm dependent on Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. Absolutely. We're all weak when it comes to the need of a Savior. Will your pride keep you from getting saved today? Are you too proud to get saved today? There's somebody in here. If you died today, you do not know 100% sure you'd go to heaven. You're not saved. You need to be born again. But let me tell you what your pride will do. In a little while, we'll give you the chance to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We'll give you the chance to get saved. And somebody's pride will make them sit right there in that pew, ignore God again, try to bypass receiving Christ because of your pride. You say, well, I don't want to get up. I'm sitting by a friend. Well, I wouldn't want to get up and go get saved. What would, hey, I'm sitting by a relative here. What would it be like? I'd be embarrassed. Let me tell you something, my friend. Don't you let your pride drive the last nail in your coffin. Hell is full of proud salvation rejectors. Their pride in hell is immediately reduced to weeping, wailing, and regret. Hey, what will be the last nail in your coffin? Your pride? I'm too proud to walk forward in church and get born again. What will be the last nail in your coffin? Will the last nail driven into your coffin be your sinful lifestyle? Luke 12, verse 19 and 20, it says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Here somebody said, I'm gonna live it up. I'm gonna eat. I'm gonna drink. I'm gonna be merry. I'm just gonna live it up in this life. And God came along and said, hey, you may live it up, but God said one of these days you're gonna face the issue of your soul. No matter how you live it up in this life, the next life is not gonna be real pleasant. God said, you're acting like a fool. Live it up and ignore the next life. Live it up, party your life away. God said, thou fool, your soul's final destiny is at hand. You may face God today. You say, I'm not going to. You tell the person who passed away, whose name is in the newspaper for being in a car wreck last night. You think they planned it? No, they did not plan it. They had no idea, but they faced eternity. If I'm preacher, if I'm worth anything to you today, let me tell you the truth. I'm not here to pat you on the head, rub your belly, and tickle you behind the ears. I'm here to say, I love you, and God loves you, and you better watch out. You don't know when you'll pass into eternity. One day they're going to put you in a box. You better hope that you've not allowed a sinful lifestyle to mess you up. Do you love your drugs so much that you're willing to reject the Savior? Would you rather get high than get saved? Do you love the booze so much that you're willing to reject the Savior? You'd rather get stoned than get born again? Do you love immorality so much that you will reject the Savior? You'd rather get it on than get born again? Do you love to party so much that you'll reject Jesus Christ? You'd rather get crazy than get saved? Let me explain something to you, my friend. You may enjoy the party life, but I'm going to tell you, you need to get born again. You better get saved. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. And if the truth seems mean to you, you're a long way away from God. A long way away. You need the Savior. You need God. Say, do I have to give it all up to get born again? No, you trust Jesus Christ to get born again. And if there's some giving up to get done, He'll help you to get it done. Would you rather get crazy than get saved? What will be the last nail? Is it going to be your party life? Is that what nails it down and sends you to hell because you won't get born again because you're too busy just living it up? There was a man who had worked all of his life, saved all of his money. He was a real miser when it came to his money. He loved money more than just about anything. And just before he died, he said to his wife, now listen, honey, when I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in the casket with me because I want to take my money to the afterlife with me. So he got his wife to promise with all of her heart that when he died, she would put all the money in the casket. So one day he died. He was stretched out in his casket. The wife was sitting there in a black dress next to her closest friend. When they finished the funeral ceremony, just before the undertaker got ready to nail the casket down, the wife said, wait just a minute. She had a shoebox with her. She came over to the box and placed that box in the casket. Then the undertakers nailed the casket down and rolled it away. Her friend said, I hope you weren't crazy enough to put all that money in there with that stingy old dead husband of yours. She said, why, yes, I did. I'm a Christian. I promised I would. I cannot lie. I promised him I was going to put all the money in the casket with him. Her friend said, you mean to tell me you put every cent of his money in that casket with him? Lady said, I sure did. She said, right before the funeral, I took all of his money. I put it in my checking account, and I wrote him a check and put it in the box. Oh, but let me tell you, my friend, you might want to live it up. I do not know what lifestyle would keep you from coming to the Savior, but I do need to tell you this. Hey, you can't take any of that money with you. You're going to die, and when you face God, you won't face Him with the backing of a bank account or stocks and bonds. You're not going to take any of it with you. You've never seen a U-Haul trailer hooked up behind a hearse, have you? You ain't taking nothing with you. You're going to die and face God. What will be the last nail in your coffin? Hey, will the last nail in your coffin be your good works? We're talking about the second death. We're talking about facing eternity. You know, the Bible says in Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Good deeds won't save you. Now, lest you misunderstand, I'm for good deeds. But good deeds has never saved anybody. You don't get saved by doing good deeds. Will the last nail in your coffin be your misconception that a good deed here and there is going to help you? He said, Brother Owens, I just helped a little old lady across the street this week. I asked who? He said, my wife. You're going to get clubbed, bud. Good works won't save you. You can't work your way into heaven. It is your pride that makes you think that. Jesus does all the saving. You just do all the letting. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says there, you get saved by grace. What is that? Grace is unmerited favor. If you get saved, it's not because you deserve it. It's because God loved you, and God cared about you. You did not qualify, other than the fact that you are a lost sinner, and God loved you. You can't do anything to earn your way into heaven. It says, For by grace are you saved through faith. That is faith in God, not faith in yourself. The Bible says it is not of your own works. Now, folks, I'm going to have to ask you to sit still, honestly. I probably had 15 people walk out. I'm not trying to be rude. I asked earlier that we abide by this, and it's just, I've got to have your attention. I've just got to have your attention. And I don't have any puppets for a puppet show or anything to regain your attention. So look right this way. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible's telling us here that if we could work our way to heaven, what man would do some works, and when he got there, he'd go around boasting and bragging about how he got himself to heaven. And God said, I don't want people going around bragging about how they got themselves to heaven. Hey, listen, if we were supposed to work our way to heaven, then what's this whole story about Jesus about? Why did he have to come and live 33 and a half sinless years? Why did he have to come and be born of a virgin? Why did he have to die on the cross of Calvary? Why did he have to be buried? Why was he resurrected? Why did all that happen? Was God just playing around, beating on his son? Absolutely not. God said, I am going to take care of your sin debt for you. I am going to make sure that you don't have to work your way to heaven. My son will do the work. My son will die. My son will be buried. My son will be resurrected. And every person in this room, you need to turn to that son and you need to say, I accept freely the gift of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take what he made available to me and stop trying to depend on yourself to get to heaven. Oh, I am for good works. I am for good deeds. But they never have and they never will get anybody to heaven. Hey, is it going to be your works that drive the last nail in your coffin? What's it going to be? Hey, will the last nail driven into your coffin be the wrong belief about religion? 2 Timothy 3:5 says this, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We want to make ourselves kind of look godly. The only thing is, we're denying the truth of what godliness really is. The first step of being godly is having received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, I've got some religion in my background. Maybe you think that because you've been baptized at one time or another that you'll go to heaven. Now you listen to me, folks. I'm a Baptist, and this is a Baptist church. If you didn't notice on the sign, it says Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It's a Baptist church. We're not ashamed of that. That's what we are. We're Baptists. But let me tell you something. We got a tank of water right back here. I do not know how many gallons of water it holds, but I can tell you this. You can get in that water and live in it 24 hours a day, and it not get you to heaven. Getting baptized in that tank never has gotten anybody to heaven. We could dunk you. We could spit on you. We could spray you. We could swash you around, and never has saved anybody. You can be baptized in every lake, pond, and puddle. You can know every tadpole by its first name, but that won't get you to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say getting in that water is going to save you. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior that will get you to heaven. We have a misconception about religion. Well, I got into some water. Well, I took a shower this morning. Thank God I did. I took a shower this morning. I hope you did. But that's not going to get you to heaven. What is it? What's going to be the last nail in your coffin? What's going to nail it down? It's going to be your misconception of what they call Holy Communion. We call it the Lord's Supper because that's what the Bible calls it. Holy Communion. You think you can eat some crackers and guzzle down a little grape juice and you get to go to heaven. You can suck Welch's dry. Ain't going to get you to heaven. You can eat saltine crackers until you're spitting sand. and it ain't going to get you to heaven. That's nowhere in the Bible. I've read it from cover to cover. I've even read the covers. And you are not going to find in there that by eating crackers and drinking juice, you get to heaven. Now, I like crackers, and I like juice, and I'm for taking the Lord's Supper. But you don't get to heaven by taking the Lord's Supper, or what we call Holy Communion. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything then, Brother Owens? Hey, the Lord's Supper is a time for those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior to look back to Calvary when He shed His body. That's a cracker. When He shed His blood, that's the juice. We're looking back and saying, God, thank You for what You did for us. We're remembering it right now. But it has nothing to do with your salvation other than reminding you where you got it. But you didn't get it in the baptistry. You didn't get it by sucking down juice and crackers. Maybe you have a misconception about religion. Maybe you think you can save yourself. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Works for salvation. You think you can improve on what God already did? How ridiculous. It's not something that you do. It's something that He's already done. You just accept the finished package. Hey, you say, I'll go to heaven because I'm a member of a church. I'm very sorry. That is not taught in the Bible. Joining a church won't save you. When you get to heaven, you pop out your membership certificate and you say, wow, look at this. I'm a member of the church. God's going to have a big old trash can up there where they throw all those people, all those papers, those membership certificates. He's going to throw them right in the trash. He's going to say, ain't you got anything better than that to get into heaven? If you don't tell Him that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing, you're not getting in. Hey, a baptismal certificate is not like a credential that gets you into heaven. Hey, a church membership certificate is not a credential that gets you into heaven. I think you ought to be a member of an independent, fundamental, right-wing Baptist church that'll keep people out of hell. I think you ought to be a member. But I'll tell you this, being a member of this church won't save you. There's somebody that's sitting in this auditorium right now. Maybe you're a member of this church. Maybe you've given everybody the impression that you're born again. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not saved, just being a member of this church won't save you. Never has saved anybody. Never will save anybody. And anybody that's dependent on their church membership to get them to heaven, they're going to be sadly, sadly mistaken when they face the Savior. Hey, well, what would it be? It's trusting Jesus that will get you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus. It's not trusting Jesus plus anything. You don't get saved plus get baptized to get to heaven. You get saved and out of obedience you get baptized, but getting baptized won't save you. It's not trusting Jesus and doing good works that'll get you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus. Now I think after you get saved you ought to do some good works. It's not trusting Jesus and joining the church that'll get you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then I think you ought to join the church. It's not trusting Jesus and taking the Lord's Supper that'll get you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus that gets you to heaven. Then I think you ought to take the Lord's Supper. It's 100% trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Savior. It's not Him and one other little thing. It's not 99% trusting Jesus and trusting yourself a little bit. You trust Jesus 100%. You say, I'm depending on You to get me to heaven. Hey, what be your misconception about religion that drives the last nail in your coffin? I can tell you what it won't be. It won't be that you didn't know the truth. Nope. Won't be that you didn't know the truth. You say, why? I've told you the truth today. John 8:32, the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You've heard the truth today. Death will come. You will face the coffin. And the Bible says in Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23, for of all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Everyone here is a sinner. Secondly, the Bible teaches there's a penalty on sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ paid that penalty. The Bible says that God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then the Bible finally says, if you understand you're a sinner, there's a penalty for your sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty. You need to turn to Him, ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, forgive you of your sin, commend your heart, and save you. And He will, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. Don't reject this truth today. You see, you will not go to hell because you did not know the truth. You may go to hell because you reject it. But you've heard the truth today. I've presented to you the gospel in the simplest form. I've told you what will save you and what won't save you. What will it be? What will drive the last nail in your coffin? Will it be rejecting the truth? It won't be you didn't know the truth. It may be that you reject the truth. Hey, but wait. What will drive the last nail in your coffin? I think I know what it is. You'll procrastinate. You're going to put it off. You know the truth now, don't you? You've heard the truth. And for most of you, you believe the truth. You've sat here and you said, you know what, that's right. We've always known giving your money to the church won't save you. And it won't. For every preacher out there that lies about it, I think the boogeyman needs to knock the snot out of him. Out there telling people, give your money to the church and you can go to heaven. Poppycock. That's ridiculous. That's silly. That's not the truth. So we know the truth. I mean, when somebody presents it, and they present it straight. But here's the problem. Somebody in here, the last nail in your coffin, the thing that will cause you to go on to hell, is you plan to take care of this another time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. Will you put it off again? You have before. Some of you put it off many times. You're not saved. You know you're not saved. You know you need to be born again. But you keep putting it off. You told your mama, said, Mama, one of these days, I'm going to get saved. Someday, I'll get saved. Somebody hears you put it off over and over again. You told your daddy, you said, Daddy, someday, I'm going to get saved. Someday, I'm going to get things taken care of between me and God. But you put it off. Somebody here told your grandma, Grandma, someday, I'm going to get saved. Someday, somebody here, you said, next time I'll get saved. Another time I'll get saved. Another day I'll get saved. Next week, next month, next year. I'm going to get saved someday. I'm not stupid, Brother Owens. I've heard the presentation today. It is the gospel truth. You've used a ton of scripture here. You've told us the truth. I don't deny that that's the truth. And what's stopping you? You're going to do it another time. What will be the last nail in your coffin? Let me tell you something. Hell is full of next-timers. Hell is full of those that put it off. Those that said, I'll get another chance. I hate to say it. I do not mean to be arrogant in saying it, but let me say this. You're arrogant to think you'll get a next time. What makes you think you get the next time? What makes you so cocky to think that you'll live to the next time? And wonder if you die before the next time gets here. But it'll be too late. Will it be your procrastination that drives that last nail in your coffin? Is that what it'll do? Is that what it's going to be? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you ought to get saved. Let me be real honest with you. Thank God for Brother Todd Bennett. He knows this. We didn't just bring him here so you could watch a biker jump some buses. We brought him here because a crowd of people would come and watch him, and we were hoping we could tell you about Jesus. We were hoping we could tell you the truth about salvation. We were hoping that you could enjoy watching a guy jump some buses, but you'd also get saved. So you wouldn't go to hell. Joseph was put in a coffin. It's the only time in the entire Bible you see the word coffin. Just so you know, in the spiritual world, there's one waiting for you. If you're saved, you won't face the second death. You go to heaven. If you're unsaved, your body will die. You'll be put into a coffin just like this. And then, the judgment of God, where you will face God about your eternity. If you've trusted Christ, hey, You're in heaven. If you've not trusted Christ, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's what they call hellfire brimstone preaching. Preachers used to preach about it. Still in the book. Still true. You say, why would you tell us this? God wants you told because He loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. This preacher loves you. This church loves you. We preach hard about hell because we don't want anybody to go there. We're hoping that you'll believe that love and trust the God who sent His Son to prove that love to you. What will be the last nail in your coffin? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.